Hey, we've been going through the series of Christmas Through Their Eyes, looking at the perspective of these different people as they experience the first Christmas. And I think it's interesting, we've been talking about nativities, and a nativity can say a lot about what you think, what you believe. So I wanted to share a few that I found online. This is from another country. I thought it was interesting. They have lots of shepherds. So they had a whole crowd show up on their nativity scene. This one, our Eskimos, they had polar bears show up to their nativity scene. One of my personal favorites says a lot about a person. Another one, this is the one I call the didn't have a lot, so made it on their own. I love that the three wise men are three Darth Vaders who obviously came on a dinosaur. But by far, the best one that I found that says a lot about our culture today was the hipster nativity scene. Just so you know, that's 100% organic beef on the side over there. But as they take their selfies. But it is, I thought it was interesting looking up these nativity scenes that there's a lot of ways that we see this time of year. We can see the consumeristic side, the chaotic side. We can see the time with family and friends. And we can see these moments where we do see the joy of what it means to live for Jesus. When I was thinking about doing the shepherds, I don't know if any of you know this, but you know, there's lots of ways that we can see this. And the shepherds was actually one of the first movies that the Chosen series did when they were first getting started. And so I wanted to show you a clip from that as we see what the shepherds were all about.
Nothing wrong. See?
Spotless.
Good. No blemish.
This one's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Teacher, I have a question about the Messiah. I've studied Torah every day.
And a shepherd wants to learn.
Yes. Do you believe the Messiah will set us free from the occupation?
Yes, he will make a great military leader.
Are you sure? Just because last Shabbat, the priest read from Prophet Ezekiel, and he did not say...
How dare you?
I'm sorry, teacher. He is obsessed.
He brought this animal? I said spotless.
Spotless, yes.
These are for righteous men, for the perfect sacrifice.
Very sorry, very sorry, very sorry.
You wonder why the Messiah hasn't come? People like you keeping him away with your stains. If you come back here without a perfect lamb, I will banish you all from the marketplace.
Now, come, come. I warned you about this. Are you deaf as well as lame?
I'm sorry.
We are not slowing down for you. You take this run back up to the hill and try and keep up. Find your own way back.
So you have this moment, the shepherds are trying to sell their lambs, and you get a sneak peek into what it kind of looked like. And a lot of people see this. The shepherds were seen as not lower class. You know, a lot of people will say they were the outcasts. They were sinners because they were dirty and stuff. But I don't necessarily believe that fully. Shepherding was a rich history for them. Moses did it. David did it. It was a normal occupation. They even have Psalms where they call God their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So I don't think the shepherd was ever as much the outcast in the sense of they were just disdained. But it was a hard job. It was a job that people saw as lower class in the sense of poverty, of a job. People didn't want a dirty job because it did take time of spending nights in the fields, spending time with sheep, protecting them. And as we saw, one of the hardest jobs is making sure, especially the sacrificial lambs, were taken care of to the point of having no blemish, which if you think about how easily it is for a sheep to fall, bump into something, get hurt, that had to be a hard job. And it's interesting that it's the shepherds then that are the ones that, as we just read, that God chooses to give his message to. I mean, if you think about it for a second, I mean, if you're starting a business, you're starting a new product, and you want to tell the world about this amazing new thing that you have to tell them, it's not the poor people off to the side that you go to first usually. Right? It's the you get it on social media, you tell the most important people, the people, the influencers who are going to spread the news. And yet, God chooses these shepherds. It says in Luke 2:10, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I think that's why the shepherds were chosen. God wanted to make sure that when they heard the word all people, they realized that they meant all people. Not just those who were expecting it, not just those who felt like they deserved it. No, it went to all people, even those who were out at the fields at night watching the sheep, while everyone else is in their homes. It's the shepherds who get to hear the good news. I think if you think back to last week with our Magi, I love the fact that, you know, we didn't even have time to talk about the fact that how when you talk about all people, it's not even just the Jewish people that he's including in this, that when the angels say all people, it's all of us included. Already, God's plan is including what we would call, the Jews would call, the Gentiles. The people like you and me who were not a part of the original promised family, but instead those who were adopted in through Christ. It's the shepherds that he chooses to receive the good news first, that the Messiah had been born. I want you to think about it for a second. When it comes to good news, how you share it. When it comes to engagement, a newborn. You know, we have these dramatic ways these days of sharing the good news. We have the big reveals, parties. We post online these perfect little pictures. And the truth is, when it comes to good news, we like sharing good news. I mean, it doesn't have to be big events. You find a good deal and coupon deal, you share it with somebody, right? You say, hey, I just found out, if you go here or if you use this code, you can get something. Or you tell them, hey, so-and-so's having a new flavor, a new deal. We like to share good news. I want you to look at the response of the shepherds. It says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. In my reading this week, I found it fascinating that the author was making this distinction between, noticed how when the angels share the good news, the shepherd's response is, oh my goodness, we have to go see this for ourselves. When the shepherds share the good news with everyone, they're astonished, but we see no reaction from this. I thought that was interesting, that I don't know if it's because they're shepherds. I don't know if it's because it's not coming from this angelic host. They're still astonished, but we don't see the same reaction of having to go see this for ourselves. But I do love the fact that that for the shepherds at least, seeing Jesus there, lying there in the manger was enough to say, we can't just leave this news with just ourselves. We have to go tell everyone. I can just picture it of them running through the streets, needing to tell people. As it said, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Even after they told everyone they could think of, they couldn't help but just give God the glory, to praise and worship him because of how good God is. Joy is that thing that just rises out of people when they can't help but see how good God is and the promises that he fulfills. But again, I think it's better if you see it. So let me show you part two of the shepherd.
He was in everyone.
He was in everyone.
Everyone. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
We waited for this for so long. So long.
His arm. His arm.
His arm.
His arm.
Yes, his arm.
Oh, it's okay. What will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus.
I must go. People must know. People must know.
People must know.
Child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
I told you not to come back here. So where is it? Have you found a spotless lamb for sacrifice?
John the Baptist said, and the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Peter puts it this way. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now, in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Earlier, Peter says this about that news. He says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. I love how that scene ends. Have you found a spotless lamb? A perfect lamb? We have. And the truth is, we didn't find him, he found us. And he came humbling himself to live a life with us, to die on a cross. And the question then becomes, then what is your response? How will you receive this good news? Have you taken the time to run to the Lord, to give your life to him, to be like the shepherds, and as soon as you hear the news, say, I've got to know more? Or have you found that good news for yourself, and now are you at the point where it's time to tell everyone? Your brother, your sister, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the strangers on the streets. I love that moment of them just running through that market, not caring who it was they told, man, woman, Roman soldier. I'm sure some of those people thought they were crazy, but they don't care because all they know is the fact that the Messiah has come. I mean, can you think about the joy that could come out of this room right here if you left today and went and told everyone Jesus is alive and he's coming back one day? And you can have hope and peace and joy and love today. That's what saddens me so much when reading statistics. I think it's 1 in 5 Christians feel like there's someone in their life that they could tell about Jesus. Many give the excuse, well, I just don't know anyone that's not a Christian. Or I'm worried that, you know, I don't know the right thing to say, or what if they get aggressive and they start pushing back and ask me questions that I don't know. We have lots of reasons that we like to make up in our heads. It'll be awkward. I'll say the wrong thing. They'll get frustrated and not talk to me anymore because of what I say. But I want to give you a stat that I find fascinating. In 3 different magazines I found, one of them being Relevant Christian Magazine, through research of Barna Group, it said 80% of unchurched people said they would be willing to try church if invited by a friend or neighbor. 4 out of 5 people said that, hey, if a friend I knew, if someone I knew just said, hey, would you be willing to go to church with me today? Said they would try it. And yet, about 1 out of 5 actually try to ask someone. It's even more interesting the fact that during this time, they say Christmas and Easter are the 2 biggest times that people are more willing to try church. So that even helps your odds. The fact is that at this time, right now, you have a better chance of inviting someone you know to church and them saying, yes, I'll give it a try. So to help you out, we've actually gone ahead and printed postcards for the candlelight service. This one helps even more because now you can invite them not to a Sunday morning, but something that's a little extra and say, hey, it's not even church service. It's this candlelight service that we do on the 24th. We'd love for you to come. I know I haven't even experienced one yet, but I've watched some of the videos of previous years and heard from many of you the one thing that I cannot change, which I wasn't going to, is the circle at the end. And I would love the fact if we had to make 2 circles because of how many people were here. To something that's non-threatening, very simple, to just say, hey, we'd love for you to come, and hand them the postcard. It could even be complete strangers. That's the best part. Because we want people to know the good news of Jesus. And so I invite the praise team back up now. I have 1 last verse that I want to read, and then I'd like to say prayer over us. I love what Jeff said about John. I went with the other time he mentions joy in John, where he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus is telling the disciples, he says, as long as you stay connected to me, the joy won't stop. It will continue to flow through you.